Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the show. I'm Harry Balzac, your host for this evening. Avanti Earns is notable by his absence at the moment. More on that story later. But present in the studio, eager to get down to it, we have Wilma Fingerdo.
Good evening, Harry. I'm representing eager beavers everywhere.
I'm Leah Harkness, and I represent single entendres. Oh, there you go, another hiatus joke at my expense.
I'm Huanke, and I'm representing the upper class, the upper lip class, to be precise.
And I'm Norma Stockers, and I'm representing the new union of new shows timekeepers. So just get on with it.
Hutton relieves stress by delivering balls.
Daylight robbery carried out.
Hot property funding. So far, so good.
With a lathe con.
Threatened with demotion? That's got to rankle.
Extended Hutton hangover? You bet.
And I have more reports than a Brussels sprout eating contest.
If you ask the average person what they think of Hutton, they might say it's a load of balls. Bento balls, space balls, guardian orbs used as giant balls, but most of all, we like to use our balls to relieve stress. This was never more true than at the recent gathering under the auspices of the Pilots Federation, where our resident oaf, a living answer to the riddle, what sees in black and white and has red all over, Fantian spent much of the evening putting his hand in his pocket, pulling out one of his balls, handing it to any passerby who displayed even the vaguest of concerned looks on their face, and saying, "Here, squeeze this and you'll feel better." Finding that stress levels in the room were actually rising, and desperate not to be asked to handle such pale and unsavoury items, most people plump for stress relief in liquid form. Soon, extra type 9s had to be laid on to transport extra mega gin, beer, and in at least one case, cider, to cope. The answer to the question, are you a glass half full or glass half empty kind of person, was most definitely, I'm a glass completely empty sort of person. I'll have another one, thanks. Going the full Cecil is not a phrase that we bandy about lightly, implying as it does the application of intoxicants at a rate and at a volume that we inevitably prepare the liver of the subject to be ready to spread on a lightly toasted piece of brioche with a small dollop of savoury jam, fig perhaps, and why not, it'll never be able to perform its original function again. But yes, several of the darkened room denizens, freed from the burden of actually paying for their libations, did their best to outdo the old goat. 3 a.m. saw the establishment shut down, and arm in arm, remlocks akimbo, they went their merry way on the stagger of shame. The following morning brought forth groans and cries, to make those heard when passing Wonder's establishment on the lower rotunda seem quite tame. Many fry-ups were consumed in a hurry, and the local river level dropped several feet as many glasses of water were thrown down parched throats to mutters of, "Whoever used my mouth as a litter box last night?" Fantian still hasn't been seen in public, but Nocti is quite glad that the whole thing finished a lot earlier and more soberly than his usual Friday nights.
Clone Master Hanky, subject of the first volume of the Galactic Guide to Fleet Carrier Spotting, has been robbed. Apparently, 2,500 tons of tritium has just vanished into thin air, or rather vacuum. And he's clueless. He's clueless as to how this happened. A couple of days ago, Hanky was out in one of his vast fleet of carriers, the one he uses to go into work on days with an R in them, when he paused, uncertain if he'd A, left the gas on, B, forgotten to close the cage on one of his snakes, or C, had some kind of dissociative episode since he didn't actually have gas, and so he couldn't have left it on in any case. These nagging doubts weigh heavily on someone of Hanky's calibre, and so he popped back home to check. Silly Hanky. When our subject returned, he found 2,500 tons of tritium missing. A one-credit piece from the Bank of Zatwis had been left in the tip jar. And even this turned out to be made from rather poor chocolate. Fingerprints that looked like they'd been made by someone dipping their fingers in blood, and since they'd filled in all the answers to the crossword in the March edition of the Fleet Carrier and Erotic Snake Owners Monthly magazine with the words, "Hanky has a fat asp." Remember, everyone, if you leave your fleet carrier unattended, always lock the doors and never leave the keys in the ignition. The galaxy is a dangerous place, so beware of cat burglars and any stereotypical gentleman who has a gang of children and keeps singing about pockets, or momus bog spaniels with curious scars on their right cheek. Oh, and newsreaders who keep your attention with a list of obvious nonsense whilst their accomplice sneaks up behind you. Beware. The next victim could be you. Don't have nightmares.
In a completely unrelated story, Mother Vantian has apparently found about a billion credits down the back of the space sofa. For most of us, that's an unimaginably large number, so think of it roughly as a profit to be made by selling 2,500 tons of tritium. He added this to the dosh from his post office savings account. He's allowed to do that since he's 21. Some book tokens, a lucky scratch card, and some premium bonds his nan bought on one birthday to make up the funds to buy his very own fleet carrier. For reasons best known to himself, Vantian has named the carrier with its dubious provenance Hot Property. He's painted it purple, or as he puts it, the grey that I can tell is different from other greys, and added a nose piece that he calls stylish, demonstrating his inability to understand good design as well as the different wavelengths of light. Once it was commissioned, his very first action as captain was to make some personnel adjustments, as he explains.
I mean, honestly, does he look like the kind of trustworthy individual you'd give custody of 5 billion credits for the purple hammerhead carrier? And before you ask, I interviewed him and he was incapable of uttering anything that had more than one syllable. Wouldn't trust him to reverse park his own arse into a chair without accident.
That may sound harsh, but chairs are expected to become much more important in about a week's time, so it's never too soon to do some housekeeping. Vantian has designated Hot Property as an emergency rescue carrier, filling it with all the medicines that he could lay his hands on, and those big paws can hold a lot. Diesel Marcon and Listian Evil Juice, quite honestly, that's a powerful mobile hangover cure right there. This lot should keep the red off him for many, many years to come. Also, access is set to allow all squadron members and friends. But BYOB, bring your own booze.
It'll be a short intermission. Very short. Don't go anywhere. Well, you weren't. It's probably not worth waiting for this, but what the hell?
Yes, it is. Come on.
It is. And here we go.
We might have to sing. Does everybody know leaving on the jet plane? Or we...
Talk amongst yourselves. If you do that, it actually pushes your ship out the way.
The main gathering of pilots, known as LaveCon, has been a completely virtual event for the last 2 years, and we're worried that during that period, the organisers have forgotten where they put things when they pack them away in 3305. How else do you explain the messages of, oh yes, LaveCon is going to happen, but we can't tell you where? We suspect that the event will be publicised very late on, the notice placed in the basement, just underneath a sign that says, Beware of the Leopard, and point to a venue that's so far outside the bubble that only Diluvian or Enchantment will stand a chance of reading it, of attending. We say, don't worry about the signs. We'll bring the leftover paint from the Hutton decals and we'll cross out 3305 and write 3308. And wherever the venue is, we'll be there for the mug.
Oh dear, how sad. Never mind. EGU have been forced to swallow a dose of their own medicine. This week's score is 0 to EGU and 2 to the faction that's not EGU. Basically, 2-0 down in the home of EGU headquarters. Now, even without a mystic octopus or tea leaves or saying yip dip sky blue, we can confidently predict that the end result will be that EGU will end up down. 4 down, to be precise. Never mind, as the song goes, a spoonful of paladins helps some medicine go down. And the EGU have been receiving shovelfuls daily. Now, naturally, no Hutton truckers are involved, we're just observers, of course. We understand that morale in the EGU may not be at its highest peak ever, and that the leaders have resorted to threats in order to keep troops focused. Threats such as saying that if they lose the election in Uridale, then pilots will be stripped of their rank and demoted to privateers, and some will even have their scepters removed. I do hope that's not a euphemism. We suspect that should the EGU lose, and of course that's only likely as long as the same effort is put into their defeat as in previous weeks, we're going to see a lot of stripping going on, and that the privates will be out in force.
Incoming encrypted transmission. Decrypting. Decryption complete.
Stand by for a message from Haxcom Actual.
Okay, Haxwing. Tharg saw we were too close to pushing him out altogether, so he struck at two more systems in the bubble, Gabia and Melanges, and Lee Horizons, and Gabia is on fire. If you are still in the Witchhead Nebula, continue cleaning up in Lembas and Wellington. Everyone else, scramble to Gabia to kick Tharg in the mandibles and remind him it hurts when he shows up in a new system. Keep up to date on system status at thargoid.watch. Rescue pilots, head to Lee Horizons to ferry evacuees from the station to the nearby rescue ship. The rescue ship is also paying a premium for needed supplies, HE suits, water, basic medicines, and evacuation shelters. There are still 7 systems under repair. Operation Ida is currently hauling repair supplies to Coal Point in Coalsack Sector VU-0, B6-6, and could use help trucking. Check OperationIda.com to stay up to date with repair supply targets. Tharg needs a good gut punch, thorax punch, whatever. We need to hurt him and make any further advance toward the core of the bubble feel too painful. Head out to Gabia, watch out for your fellow pilots, keep your eyes on the signal sources, and always be ready to defend the mug.
Hexcom message complete. Defend the mug.
Encrypted transmission complete.
Well, it's been a moderately exciting week here in Hutton space. 2 challenges for control of long-standing Hutton systems were defused during the week, and those systems are recovering nicely. More on those stories later.
In Barnard Star, the Sol Workers' Party won their war for second place, which has put them only 2 points behind Hutton. So an election for control of the system is likely within a couple of days, unless we can boost Hutton's fortunes. Last week's Challengers 10th Fleet had tumbled to second last in the system, having entered a war, had an infrastructure failure, and have another war pending. Last week's election in Trepin was won with some degree of comfort by Hutton in a convincing 4-0 victory. This was despite Private Hankey going AWOL for the weekend, returning to find that the system he custodes has been restored to a healthy 46%. As predicted last week, Sirius Corporation's ambitions in AVIC have come to naught. The conflict was quickly won and AVIC has rebounded to a healthy 48%. Epsilon Eridani continues to slowly climb through the high 30s, away from the Mad Monks who have recovered from an outbreak of mods, only to get drawn into an election. Joining them in the high 30s is Kakari on 38, where the recovery from an earlier pirate attack seems to have stalled. Skirting the could-do-better zone on 40% are Ross 671 and Wolf 359, where an infrastructure failure is hampering the smooth running of the system. Shipping water purifiers and power generators to the large pads in Low Mass Orbiter and Powell High to relieve the failure. Fleet carrier captains, it's time to make a killing and have your flying gin palace earn its keep. One system from which we seldom hear is Stein 2051, probably due to them being relatively self-sufficient and sorting out their own issues before they become a problem. This includes the brief pirate attack that started and ended in the week. Well done, Commander Cully and the pirate killers of Stein 2051. The push for control of Wolf 562 has resumed, and Hutton are only 12 points behind Wolf 562 Major Inc., the controlling faction, who have dropped to 40%. So if we maintain the effort, it's only a matter of time. At the overachieving end of the Hutton systems table, we have 5 systems above 60%. I haven't said this for a few weeks, so perhaps a brief reminder is overdue. Please don't boost or dump data into systems that are above 60%, or we just waste an expansion and waste time and effort withdrawing. Last week's expansion was into the Corbenic system. Controlled by the Minutemen, it's not somewhere we want to be, and the special military operation against the Mekir faction to leave is going well, with Hutton presently losing 3-1. Priorities this week are, if you want to truck something, ship water purifiers and power generators into Wolf 359 to end the infrastructure failure and boost Hutton influence in Barnard Star to avoid an election for control of the system. If you want to shoot something, try the Paladins, they have a long list of targets. And finally, as mentioned by the Balzac earlier, the Eggy Poos seem to be having a bit of trouble at home. They're halfway to losing an election for control of their home system, Uriel. Oh dear, Eggy Poos, that's unfortunate. Perhaps there is a public opinion lesson in there somewhere.
The number of events organised by the community is absolutely staggering. Week after week we get updates of what's been happening and news of forthcoming initiatives, and this week we're hearing all about All the Clouds in the Sky, the Magellan Experience, the Nexus Exploration, Celebration of Early Astronomy 4, the latest Bandit Racing League event, the behind the scenes details of the Small Ship Smackdown, and Trip Omega Phase 1 Summary. Links will of course be posted in Twitch chat and also in the description of the YouTube upload. Commander Diluvian's expedition All the Clouds in the Sky is still progressing, but it's still never enough for him, as he explains.
It's been 171 days since we left for the Cloud Hunt. It feels like it's been a long time, and maybe we've not made enough progress, but On the other hand, we have covered 151,000 light years so far in our journey, and that on its own says something. We've also visited 41 nebulae or nebulae-like objects out of the known 244. That too shows a lot more must have been accomplished than it feels like. So I'm determined to look on the bright side from now. After the Witch Head, we visited Spirograph and NGC 1999 to finally get to the Orion Complex. And this is really a treat. Now, Barnard's Loop is magnificent and overwhelming, and it's also the one that wraps the entire region with its huge arm. There are a few sites to visit here. However, this would not be real travelling per se, but repositioning rather. And the very reason for it is that it is really difficult to isolate every nebula in the complex and have it documented or explored separately. I try my best, but even in this picture of the Orion Nebula, you can see the Running Man as well. So, to conclude, we'll be moving tonight, or repositioning again, as I said, to give the crew more chances to absorb the overwhelming beauty of this region. And as for me, of course, a chance of taking some good photos. It will take a little while before we move forward and go deeper into the Vela Molecular Ridge and then the Perseus Transit. If you look at the galaxy map, this quadrant is the least populated with the cloudy phenomena of them all. So we'll be looping back to the bubble way sooner than the last time. 07, Commanders.
The members of the expedition, the Magellan Experience, refuse to feel lonely even when they're equidistant from the edges of nowhere. Commander Richard Fluenes M has an update on their progress.
The Magellan Experience is getting close to its end as people approach the limits of Hawking's Gap and explore. The old abandoned sites also become part of the end of their experience, with the last destinations being The View and Ursa Majoris in the horizon. We thank everyone who participated.
We'd like to say that 1st of March marked Commander Rich's birthday. Happy birthday from the Hutton crew, and happy flying, Commander. Commander Caboose brings us up to speed with what's been happening with Nexus. See if you can spot the subtle, almost imperceptible mentions of the fleet carrier's name.
Legacy operations continue as scheduled. Preparations of the route are being finalised for the return voyage. Gary Hogan operations have resumed and final preparations and funding is continuing after a delay due to political unrest. The Gary Hogan was originally scheduled to leave in mid-February, but was delayed due to a civil war. The Gary Hogan is now scheduled to leave the bubble in the next few weeks, where it will meet with the Legacy and take its place at Outpost Oluwadi Milade. While most members of the Legacy crew have expressed an interest in returning to the bubble, a few members have volunteered to remain in deep space aboard the Gary Hogan. Space is being made aboard the Gary Hogan for more intrepid explorers seeking to leave the bubble via transport.
If you do manage to spot the subliminal references, please write to... Oh, hell, just a minute.
Nurse!
I'll start again. If you did manage to spot the subliminal references, please write to I Spotted the Gary Hogan, care of the Nexus Expedition, second star on the right and straight on till morning.
Are you okay, Flossie?
The problem with organising an expedition called Celebration for Early Astronomy 4 is that there is a natural limit to the extents, since you are constrained mostly to those systems seen and imagined by our forebears. No, not the ones with the porridge. There are only three of them. Do try to keep up. And as the engines power down and the only sounds in the ships are the ticking of the cooling metal, the sighs of relief as undergarments are removed at the end of a long day, and the cries of, "Has anyone seen what I did with my foot powder?" Commander Kezika and her team have sent this farewell message.
Our expedition is coming to a close as we head down the second half of this leg. First off, we're heading to STKM-1-442, a binary star in the Stevenson K and M stellar catalogue, which focuses on class K and M stars. When you visit, however, this system is not displayed as a binary. This is the best spot for you to drop off all of your accumulated data, as the squadron that hosts this expedition has a player minor faction, and this system is under their control. Rumor also has it that a commander is giving out amazing rewards for proof of kills of the local Anarchy faction. Next, we take a quick stop at home. I mean Sol. I don't think this system needs any explanation, but for those of you who want one, the expedition.info has an amusing one in the CEA4 Leg 4 post. Odyssey players can get a really good view at LHS 200, as the first planet is a ringed planet and its first moon is a landable ringed planet. And those of you interested in stellar history may want to stop by Thuban, which is also known as Alpha Draconis. This star is part of a binary star system, which is in the Draco constellation. The historical bit comes in that Thuban was Earth's north star between the 4th and the 2nd millennium BC, in place of Polaris today. Be careful when stopping in Alcyon, as it's one of the stars in the open star cluster of the Pleiades, one of 800 in the Taurus constellation. Maia, Electra, Tegeta, Celeno, Sterope and Merope are its fellow prominent stars, with the parent stars of Atlas and Pleione off to the side. The ancient 21st century automotive company Subaru was named after the Japanese name of this cluster, and their logo was a stylized representation of it. But why should we be careful, you ask? Well, the Pleiades is currently a Thargoid hotspot. For a calmer part of the trip, we have the NCG-1333 cluster, a reflection nebula in the Perseus constellation, part of the Perseus Molecular Cloud. Noted waypoints in this cluster are NGC-1333-IRS-2, GMM-200822, and WMW-201059. Next, we have another system in the Perseus constellation, 40O Persei. The odd name is from the galaxy map elite mashing up the Bayer and Flamsteed designations of 0 Persei and 40 Persei, respectively. This is a binary star system, which is a member of the Perseus OB2 Association, a cluster of stars moving together. This cluster also contains HD 21856, 38 Persei, HD 24131, X Persei, 44 Persei, and 46 Persei. A quick detour on over to HIP 3289 follows. A star in the dark purple emission nebula known as LBN 623 Nebula, IC63 and Gamma Cassiopeia Nebula, the latter named from the visual proximity of the bright star and the nebula as seen from old Earth. And finally, we arrive at our end destination, T Tauri. It is a variable star in the Taurus constellation, and despite not being represented as such in the galaxy map, it is the prototypical star of the T Tauri class. It was discovered in October of 1852 by John Russell Hind, of which the planetary nebula in the system was named after. We hope you enjoyed hearing about our trek from start to finish, and that you'll join us for the next one, wherever that may be.
And Kezika and her crew would like to thank Commanders Merlinson, Raghav 102, and Vesper Solaris for the screenshots. The latest Bandit Racing League event is just 2 days away, and Commander DB Exterminator has this update.
Greetings, Commanders! The Bandit Racing League race this weekend, 5th of March at 2000 UTC. Winners in both categories will receive a limited run Bandit Racing League decal. We're trying something a bit different, as we're only going after three items this time. The race course is up on our Discord page, and we're looking forward to seeing you there. Good luck and happy hunting.
Commander Shoreside's Customs, we're told, is no stranger to the world of consensual pain, at least when he's in his favourite cockpit. He tells us that his scars bear mute testimony to his bravery in battle, but we suspect that it's more to do with his ineptitude at DIY. In any case, here's his report from his most recent encounter. Saturday came around quickly enough, meaning it was time for the small ship smackdown. A ragtag bunch of Xbox commanders assembled, some old and some new. Chris managed to escape hot cold slavery by sneaking into his Xbox and away from the evil Emperor. Alvin's Paul was parked up in vigour, ready for the inevitable rebuys, but unfortunately Yumi was on duty and wouldn't allow Paul to dock. Don't ask, it's a long story. At 2100 we headed over to the salvageable wreckage and discussed how we could start the event. Apparently, in Bobby's eyes, it had already started, as he had opened fire on a nearby trucker, and with that, we were off. The usual shenanigans ensued, accompanied by a fair amount of both laughing and swearing. Although we could certainly hear Maya on comms, not many commanders actually saw her. Later, we found out she was running a stealth DBS with TORPs and trying to start fights between other people. Mick and Gareth gave a good account of themselves, despite being a lot newer to the game. Andrew fought to the death, so nothing new there. Paul spent a lot of the night trying to destroy Corey, and Keith had a pop at pretty much everyone. Chris came in his Corvette to be an adjudicator and winged up with a couple of us. Sadly, he hit Paul with his Healy beams and accidentally charged his shield back up to full. I suppose these things happen in the heat of battle. After a couple of hours, things started to wind down, but Mick obviously didn't want the fun to end, as he was now in an FDL. Both Mia and Paul were sure they heard him say, "Something, shoot me." So they were more than happy to oblige. Despite obviously wanting to be shot at, Mick kept boosting away in the straight line and eventually they gave up chasing him and started shooting each other. What next, you may be asking? Hard to say, really. SRV Demolition Derby? Medium Ship Smackdown? Stay tuned to Hutton Orbital to find out. Commander Radium has sent us this report. His report on, well, we'll let him tell you.
The first phase of Trip Omega, Titan Contractor's fourth and biggest expedition trip, has successfully concluded. Along the first leg of this month's long journey, commanders have been able to experience the unique lore behind the defunct INRA organisation and the mystery of the Thargoids, as well as discover ancient mysterious structures left behind by the extinct Guardian civilization. Our next phase will cover various sites in the bubble, including the Generation ships, failed colony ships set out to colonise habitable worlds, starting on March the 5th. Alongside their trip, Titan's own unique lore continues. A deep and dark mystery surfaces, bringing Titan commanders together once again in an attempt to unravel a secret that may change everything. Puzzles and storylines are directly affected by participating commanders as the second arc of our narrative emerges, continuing a year-long dynamic story made for our community. If any of this sounds interesting to you, then consider joining our Discord via the link in the graphic provided. All are welcome.
Have you heard about an event or an expedition that we're not covering? Then please email itookpart@huttonorbital.com so we can let everyone know.
Seamless.